In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear saints of God, I've been on the catechism retreat this last week with the 34 catechumens from 7 different churches. We were out in the sticks running around and playing and thinking especially about the Lord's Prayer. And so with that on our minds, we know that the gospel today has to do with the fourth and fifth petitions. The Lord answers the prayer for daily bread by providing this miraculous catch of fish. And he answers the prayer for the forgiveness of all sin, the fifth petition, with these words, "Do not be afraid." What we are learning from this text, then, in Luke chapter 5, is that we trust in God and in His Word to provide all that it is promised. We trust His Word even when the promises that He gives don't look like they could possibly be true. And so we see that Jesus is teaching us to walk by faith and not by sight. Peter is our example, both of walking by faith and not by sight, and then of not walking by faith but by sight. And he's our example both ways in the text. Here he is, and you can imagine it, on the Sea of Galilee, washing his nets, getting ready to pack it in for the day, having fished all night and caught nothing. Peter is a fisherman. He knows this sea, this shore, these nets and boats and ropes and these fish. His life depends on it, on him knowing these things, on him understanding them. St. Peter knows then that the right time to fish is at night, and that the right place to fish is along the shore where the fish come in for feeding. And if you're going to catch any fish in this lake, that's when it will be. But here comes Jesus, this traveling rabbi. He is no fisherman. And there he sits in the boat and teaches the crowd. And then when he has finished and says his amen, he tells Peter to go out into the deep and to throw out his net. Now, we don't know what Peter thought or what he was tempted to think at this moment. Perhaps something like this: deep water in the middle of the day, there's no surer way to make sure the nets are empty. This man knows nothing of fish. But if that was what he was tempted to say, he didn't say it. He puts all of this out of his mind. For after hearing the words of Jesus, he trusts him and says this: "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." In this, Peter stops being a fisherman and simply trusts the Lord's word. He forgets everything that he knows, everything that he's ever seen, every workday of his entire life, and simply follows Jesus and his word. This is similar to all the saints of the scriptures who do exactly the same thing. Consider, for example, the Virgin Mary, who, when the angel comes and tells her that she will be with child, even though she has never known a man, she says, "Let it be to me according to your word." Or consider Gideon, who by the Lord's word has his army of thousands cut down to 300 men. And with those 300, the Lord defeats his enemies. Peter is like Abraham, who, even though he was old and past the age of having children, and so was his wife Sarah, when God says, "Through your seed the Messiah will come," he believes him and is accounted righteous. Peter here is like every Christian. From Adam and Eve to us and our children and grandchildren, all Christians trust the Lord and His Word, and that His Word is true, even when it doesn't look to be true. So it is with Peter. and at the word of the Lord, so many fish were dragged out of the water that they need two boats, and even these boats begin to sink. So it is that we trust the Lord's word even when we think we know better. But while Peter does well in following the Lord's fishing instructions, he doesn't do well in what comes next. For when the Lord Jesus said, "Cast out your nets," Peter forgot his fishing wisdom and obeyed the Lord. But Peter cannot forget that he's a sinner. When he sees the fish, Peter is terrified. The text says, "But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" Peter forgot he was a fisherman and followed the Lord's instructions there, but he does not forget that he's a sinner, and so he begs Jesus to leave him alone. Martin Luther gives us this insight on the text. Earlier, Peter conveniently forgot what he was and said, "Lord, I'm a fisherman and know how to fish, but now I'll forget that at your word and throw the net out." That's what he should have done here too, saying, "Lord, I'm a sinner and not worthy to have you with me, but now I will no longer think of my sinfulness. Instead, I will risk everything on your word and remain with you." But now Peter drops the word, looks at his unworthiness, and says, "Lord, depart from me. I'm a poor sinner." Ah, yes, dear Peter. Once you were an excellent master, but now you have forgotten the art entirely. Before you said, "Fisherman, be gone. Here's a word I'm going to follow." So you should also say now, "Sinner, be gone." A different kind of man is needed here, one who doesn't worry if he's a sinner or holy, but simply and without fear puts complete trust in Christ's word of forgiveness. As you were not beforehand concerned with whether you were a fisherman, so now you should not worry whether you are a sinner. But it is difficult to let go of our human wisdom in all areas of life, but especially in this, the knowledge that we have that we are sinners. This is an especially difficult struggle for the Lord's Christians. For those people who have not heard the Lord's word and do not believe it are fairly unconcerned with sin, at least generally. They would speak of their goodness and their intentions and their noble service in the cause of the good of humanity, and they would go about their business as if God is completely pleased with whatever arrangement they've come up with for their lives. If you go outside the church, I think this is true. If you go outside the church, the chief adjective used to describe God is the word nice. And by nice is meant unconcerned with my sin. Now, it's true that this kind of pagan pride sneaks into the Lord's church as well, and we begin to think that the Lord is unconcerned with our sin, but we are able in the church to see this for what it is: our sinful flesh's attempt to justify itself. But Christians know better than this. We've heard the Ten Commandments. We've learned about God's wrath and His holiness. We know that we don't measure up, that we're not good enough, and that we fall short of the glory of God, not just once, but constantly, and not by accident, but by our own plotting and choice and planning. If nothing else, we know that we are sinners and that we deserve God's wrath. And here's the rub. Here's the sin. That even when Jesus comes promising forgiveness and life and salvation, we don't believe it. "I'm a sinner," we say. "How can Jesus be pleased with me? How can He forgive this sin or that one. And this, dear saints, is an especially sharp temptation when the hour of death draws near. And the devil would bring to us his despair and say things like this: "Surely you don't think you've been good enough, that you've done enough, or prayed enough, or studied your Bible enough. I'm not even sure if you believe in Jesus. Remember that time you thought the Bible is just stories written to make us feel better? Or the time that you thought the church was just a big scam? You're just a Christian because your parents are. Do you think you'll make it to heaven?" Whatever it is, the devil brings us doubt and despair and puts our eyes on ourselves so that we know before anything else our sin. But Jesus would have it different. "Forget your sin," he says. "Forget that you're a sinner. Cast it far from your mind." He does. That's what the scriptures say. He forgets that you're a sinner. Isaiah 43:25. "I, the Lord, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins." Or quoting Jeremiah 31, Hebrews 8:12 says, "For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." Dear saints, the death of Jesus has given to God a heavenly amnesia. He has completely forgotten your sin. Completely. It's gone. Covered by the blood of Jesus, cast into the sea, totally put out of the mind of God. By the forgiveness of your sins, He has forgotten that you are a sinner. By His blood, He has forgiven your sin and covered all of your shame. By His word, He has declared you to be perfect and holy and righteous, and His word is true. You, dear saints, are given to know, above all else, not your sin, but your Savior. Not your guilt, but His cross. His death for your life and His forgiveness. Trust His word. It's always true. And by it you have this certainty that your sin is forgiven. When Peter tried to send Jesus away because of his sinfulness, he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Jesus came and spoke to Peter the word of forgiveness, the word of absolution. And he has that same word for us as well. He says to Peter, "Do not be afraid." May God grant us His Holy Spirit, that living in the freedom of our forgiveness, we would not be afraid of sin, of our own sin, of death, our own grave, or of the devil, but that instead we would rejoice in Jesus, in His life, and His death, and His resurrection, and the salvation that comes from Him. May we forget our sin as God Himself has done. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.